friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, it's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Well, here we are, 17 days into the month of June. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Mark and Friends here on this Thursday. I am your host, Joey Kroll, and I have the great joy of sitting behind this microphone every Thursday. And, I'm the friends part of Mark and Friends, and I hope you're having a great week. And, it certainly is, warming up. That is for sure. And this weekend is an exciting weekend. We have Father's Day on Sunday, but we also, dear friend, have the first day of summer on Sunday as well. And so, you got lots to celebrate. Just think, 6 months ago, we were scraping ice off of our windshields and shoveling snow in our driveway. So, summer is officially arriving on Sunday. Praise the Lord. I hope you are having just a blessed week. And with Father's Day being on Sunday, after I get off the air here, I'm going to go to the post office and mail out my Father's Day card because, you know, I just have a habit of kind of mailing it late, and it always arrives at Monday after. And so, you know, it's just that whole thing. So I'm making sure that after I get off the air today, I am going to that post office and making sure it goes out today. But yeah, of course, Sunday is Father's Day. And for Mark and Friends today, I thought we would just prepare our hearts for Father's Day by listening to a message I gave actually to my home church, Galilee Baptist Church in Decatur, a couple of years ago, right around Valentine's Day, and hear a message entitled The Father's Heart from Luke chapter 15, where Jesus gave three parables all pointing to the Father's heart. So let's open our hearts and our word to Luke chapter 15 for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And I came across just this past week some brutally honest Valentines from kids. Brendan gave his mom a Valentine's Day card that said, "Thank you, Mom, for making me food so I don't die." Thank you, Brendan. Praise the Lord. Also, there's another Valentine from a little girl that said, "Dear Mom, you are nice and you love me. I know your hormones are crazy. That is okay because you still love me." Thank you so much for that. Welcome to church, by the way. And there is a young boy who wrote a Valentine to his teacher, said, "Dear Miss Rachel, you are the second best teacher ever. Happy Valentine's Day." See, Valentine's Day is to let that somebody know that you are, that they are on your heart, what they mean to you. If you want to know what about the Father's heart and the Father's love, you just read this and you'll find it. I'll tell you, dear friend, this is God's Valentine's letter to you. And today we're going to be talking about the Father's heart, the Father's heart. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke 15. If you don't have your Bible, you may have one maybe on your phone. Or there's some of them are in the pews there with you. But Luke chapter 15, talking about the Father's heart. And so as you're turning to Luke 15, a little setting here. Jesus is sitting and eating and drinking with sinners, sitting down with sinners. And there are some men, some teachers of the law, the extremely religious people. And they came to him and they were criticizing him. "Why is it that you are hanging out with sinners? Why is it that you are hanging out with sinners?" And so Jesus responded by telling three different stories, all with the same meaning. Many people believe that these are three different parables. No, they're three stories of the same parable. And so and he uses these parables to point, to relate these stories to us. In here. So we see here in Luke chapter 15, he talks about lost sheep. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 15, verse 3, talks about lost sheep. So he told them this parable. This is in response to them criticizing him. Why is he hanging out with sinners and heathens? It says in verse 4, "What man of you,
Having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Verse 7, So I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You know, if you know anything about sheep, they're dumb. They're dumb. They're not very smart. They are not very smart. And so, how many of us ever been to a circus? Pastor, we've been going to this church for a long time. We go to circus every Sunday. But you see what? They have trained elephants, right? They have trained tigers. They have trained horses, trained dogs. But have you ever seen a trained sheep? You won't ever see one because they're not very smart animals. And so, think about this. The cows will eventually come home. A dog will eventually find his way home. The cat, you can never get rid of a cat. It always comes back. But sheep, they get lost so easily. They're not very smart. And so Jesus uses this little illustration to point to how we are so lost without him. In fact, this is what he says here in Isaiah 53:6. It says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We all like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way." You know, sheep are dumb. They're not very smart. And so we have people today who are high intellects, who think they know it all. You know people like that? Very high. They belong to the intellectual societies and they know it all. But let me tell you, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death." In Romans 3, it talks about spiritual things, and Romans 3 tells us that there is none that understands when it comes to the spiritual things. And so Nicodemus, if you know Nicodemus, he was a brilliant man in John chapter 3, and so he was a spiritual leader in Israel, and since he wasn't born again, he didn't understand fully the things of God, and he was confused over the teachings of Christ. And there are those who have high intellect today. They are brilliant with their minds, but friend, let me tell you something. You cannot think your way to God. You cannot think your way to God. You are more than just a brain. You have a body, soul, and spirit. You cannot think your way to God. So sheep are dumb, but sheep are also defenseless. Think about this. Sheep do not have a mechanism to protect themselves. So dogs, they can bite, right? Horses, they can run. A bear can crush. A tiger can slash. A skunk can, well, you get the drift here. But sheep, they don't have a mechanism of defense. A sheep is a defenseless animal. They are helpless. And, you know, Jesus even referred to them as they are sheep without a shepherd. They are sheep without a shepherd. They have nobody there to watch over them, lead them, and guide them. He's talking about lost sinners. They are sheep without a shepherd. So we see lost sheep, but also in Luke 15, we see a lost coin. Look, if you would, in Luke 15, verse 8, it says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice for me, for I found the coin I had lost.'" Now, for some of us, if we lose a fork, a pencil, maybe a paper clip, we just get up and get a new one, right? But I'll tell you something. If you lose the remote control, y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, you will search tooth and nail until 4 o'clock in the morning. Y'all will stay up looking for that remote control. And I'll tell you, it's so funny how trust goes out the window when you're looking for that remote control. You're like, "Are you sitting on the remote?" "No, get up. Let me check." You ain't trusting nobody. Pastor, why is this woman so frantic over one coin? Let me ask you a question. Let's see how many of us were paying attention. How many coins did she have? 10. So you telling me if you lose 10% of your income, you ain't going to go find it somewhere? Come on. And so here she was. She was searching diligently. And so these verses here show us that, friend, you and I are lost in darkness. Pastor, how did you get that from that? The coin was lost in darkness because what did she have to do? She had to turn on the light. Friend, we are lost in darkness apart from Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, Jesus said, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into this world, and people love the darkness. Their works are evil." Every single one of us. There's a part in every single one of us, if we let it, there's a part of us that love the darkness, that wants the darkness. There's a part of every single one of us that wants that sin. And we got to crucify that every day. If you don't have Christ, the Bible says you are lost in darkness. Because Jesus is the light of the world. And so it tells us that we are lost in darkness, but friend, we are lost in our dirtiness. She, not only did she have to turn on a lamp, turn on a light, but she also had to bring out the broom and start sweeping the floor to find it. And so Jesus is saying, I'm keeping company with these people. That's the type of people I'm keeping company with, the ones who are lost and those who are dirty. And friend, that's not only a picture of who he sat with, but that's a picture of you and me. Pastor, I ain't dirty. I'm a member of the PTA. Pastor, I'm a member of this and that club. I mean, I'm a member of the church. I belong to the lodge. I'm a member of this organization, or I give blood every other month, or I do all of this and this and that. But did you know what the Bible says about you trying to do all these good things? Look, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 64, and it says in verse 6, "But we all as an unclean thing," watch this, "and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags." What is that saying? It says your very best in comparison to a holy God will always fall short. Your very best. See, that's why you can't work your way to heaven. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven, y'all. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven. The Bible says your very best apart from Jesus Christ is as filthy rags. So here was a lost coin, lost in darkness, lost in dirtiness. And Jesus says, these people I keep company with, they're like that. And so we see there's the story of the lost sheep. There's the story of the lost coin. And then Jesus just continued right on and talked about a lost son. And he shares a story about a young man who goes to his dad and says, "Dad, I want my inheritance now." Now, you get somebody's inheritance after they pass away. I mean, a lot of people say, the son might as well told his dad, "I want you dead." I mean, that is a disrespect to the father. And so the father says, "All right, fine, son, here, take your stuff and take your portion of your inheritance." And the Bible says he went to a faraway land, this young man. He went to a faraway land, and the Bible says he squandered all of his money. Anybody here ever wasted their money on something? They're like, man, like what do they call that? Buyer's remorse. Anybody was like, why did I buy that water gun that was $40? Really? It's wintertime. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? And so anyway, so he squandered all of his money. And then we come here to verse 16. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 15, verse 16. After he wasted all of his money, verse 16 says, "And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." Verse 17, there he is in a pig pen. "But when he came to himself," or another translation says, "when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here in hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off," picture this, y'all, "his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us celebrate and eat. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." And they began to celebrate. See, let me tell you something. Man is wretched Man is wretched apart from Jesus Christ. Pastor, that's a church word. What does wretched mean? It means unfortunate, miserable. Let me tell you, a life apart from Christ is filled with depression. I'll tell you. So this man, this young boy, this his son, he had his inheritance and he spent it all. He spent it all. And all of it. He was broke. He was broke. He spent it all. And see, let me tell you something. When the lights fade, when the money runs out, when the buddies leave, and when the glitter no longer sparkles, and when the sun sets on the fun, and you are left with nothing rock bottom, that can lead a man to a woman to the pit of depression. And so a life apart from Christ is filled with depression, but it's a degraded lifestyle. Watch this. Look at verse 16. Not only a life full of depression, but it's a degraded lifestyle. Look at verse 16. And he was longing to be fed, watch this, with the pods that the pigs ate. In other words, that food that was the pigs were eating, he wanted that. I mean, he got that low. That low. He was in a pig pen. He wasn't in a hut. He wasn't under a box. He wasn't in a corner. He was sleeping in a pig pen, living with the pigs, eating with the pigs. And if you know anything, Jesus, if you know anything about the context here, Jesus is talking to a Jewish audience. And for a Jew to touch a pig, that is goes completely against their nature. The dietary law of the Bible completely separates the Jew from hogs. I mean, they wouldn't even touch them with a 10-foot pole. And so today we say somebody has gone to the dogs. They say somebody has gone to the hogs. I mean, it is this is as low as a person can get. I want you to get this. There's this young man who squandered everything. Squandered everything, and now he is eaten with the pigs. Living apart from Christ is filled with depression, degradation, but also it's a life of dissatisfaction. Look, if you would, in verse 16. Again, we're talking about the lost son here. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. He was longing to be fed. Verse 16. Oh, what a emptiness of a life. Apart from Christ. If you take one thing away today, I want you to know this here. There is nothing that can fill your soul. There is nothing in this world. There is nothing that your friends can provide, money can provide, prestige can provide, that can fill and satisfy your longing soul. Only Christ. Only a relationship with Him. Jesus is talking about physical hunger here, but this is a parable, and He's making it an illustration that there's a deeper hunger inside each and every one of our hearts. And He's the only puzzle piece that can complete it. I know that there are things of this world that may feel good for a season, but it will never satisfy you. Jesus spoke to a young woman at a well, and she's been having failed marriage after failed marriage, failed relationship after failed relationship. And Jesus spoke to her at a well, and she was getting water at a well. And He told her, after having a conversation about water, He used that as an illustration to say, "Woman, I want to let you know that if you drink this water, you will be thirsty again. But if you drink of the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again." There is an emptiness apart from Christ. Somebody asked Jesus, "Why are you dining with these sinners? Come on, man. What are you doing? You're above that." He gave a three-part parable why. He's saying, "I'll tell you why I'm keeping company with these sinners, because they are like lost sheep without a shepherd, nobody there to protect them, lead them, guide them. They are like a coin that's lost in the dirt, lost in the darkness, and it's like a lost son who is separated from God, living a degraded lifestyle, living in sin, living with depression and dissatisfaction, lost sheep, lost coin, lost son." Let me tell you something, after each one was found, there was rejoicing. Baseball has been playing in America since 1875, but it was back in September of 1990, something special happened. There's a man by the name of Ken Griffey Sr. Late in his career, he was signed to the Seattle Mariners, the same team that his son was playing, Ken Griffey Jr. So father and son played on the same team. And it was on September 14th, 1990, in the first inning of a game against the Angels, Ken Griffey Sr. hit a home run to left center. And his son followed him at the plate. And so, and he hit another home run. His son hit the home run right after him to almost the same exact spot. And it was the only time in baseball history that a father and son hit back-to-back home runs. And so when Ken Griffey Jr. came running around the bases, there his dad was. Ken Griffey Sr. met Jr. at the home plate and said, "That's how you do it, son." And they gave a big old hug. Let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father, God Almighty, is waiting for you to come home. He is waiting for you to come home. He with open arms. He's ready to celebrate. He's ready to put a ring on your finger, a robe around you. He's ready to put some shoes on your feet and treat you like a child of God. All you got to do is come home. Come to Jesus. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen. That is, dear friend, the Father's heart here on today's edition of Mark and Friends. Here's Phillips, Craig, and Dean to lead us out of the program.
And then he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise, and he brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw him run to me. So ashamed, all alone and so far away. But now I know he's been waiting for this day. I saw him run to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, and said, "My son's gone." Felt his love for me again. He ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest. He said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears.